You have heard the story of Rabia and the purity. You all haven't heard that. Most of you all have heard it. I think it is printed in books also somewhere. Okay, for Dorothy, you have heard?
I'm not hearing it again.
Okay.
Give another choice of another one. You said there are few.
No, there are others who have not heard.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what has happened is, Baba used to always stress upon a life of purity. Mani was telling you all this morning, isn't it? Of poverty, purity and all that. And he had told us this story based on how one can lead, not by leading a pure life, can lead others to live a pure life. And he had told us that story and we had completely forgotten. I had completely forgotten about it. Till one day, one of the pilgrims, a young lady in her teens, was here with us. And hearing all the stories and all that, she was enthused. And she said that, "Hey Raj, what? I want that the whole world should know about Baba." I said, "Yeah, it's for you younger generations now to carry on this sublime and noble work. You all shouldn't keep it to yourself. You see what you have found, the treasure." "But there's one thing I can't understand." I said, "What is it?" "I do want to tell people in my college and campus and all that. I do broach the subject. I do begin to tell them and all that. And they look at me and all that. And then, so fine, go and tell them about Baba." I said, "No, but in the course of it, what happens, there are a lot of complications created." I said, what's the complication in telling Baba stories?" "The boys fall in love with me." "And it is very embarrassing." I said, "Oh, is that embarrassing? What's there to be embarrassed by that? Let them fall in love with you. What harm is there? Provided you fall in love, you remain fallen in love with Baba." And all of a sudden, the story that was told to us by Baba some years ago came to my mind. And I said, "Have you heard the story of Rabia's life?" He says, "No." I said, "All right, listen now. It will help you to live your life dedicated to Baba. Of course, you should get married and you are beautiful, no doubt about it. You are young, you are healthy, beautiful, you have a whole life to live. But see how Rabia lived her life? So live that way." So then the story is this. This is what Baba tells us about how one can use one's beauty, one can use one's strength in the cause of the truth. So Baba begins the story with, we all knew about Rabia, of course, but we didn't know the story. And still I am in search of the story. I have read so many books on Rabia, but I haven't come across the story yet. We come across that she has been kidnapped in her youth and all that, and she is being taken away and this and that, but nothing touching the story that Baba told us. And the story is this, that Rabia was a very beautiful woman. Very beautiful. There's no doubt about it. She was considered to be very beautiful. And books say so that she was also one day kidnapped. Now Baba's story comes here. So when she was a young woman, she was beautiful. All knew about her beauty. It happened in Baghdad, in Iraq. A man from Persia, from Shiraz, a very influential and rich businessman, wanting to have a vacation from Persia to Iran to Iraq. He came to Iraq wanting to get away from business and all that. His mind was too tired of whatever. And he came to Iraq for a vacation, short vacation. He is young, he is handsome, healthy, very influential and very wealthy too. So he comes to Baghdad and he's there. When he's there, what has happened is that naturally he wants to have a good time, you see. Wants to see sights and wants to befriend people. He's all by himself. So he's in a cafe. And while he's having his morning cup of whatever you call it, chai or coffee or whatever it is, and some snacks, so he broaches the conversation. He says, hey, is there anything worthwhile here in Baghdad for sightseeing or anything like that? So says, yeah, why not? You seem to be a stranger here. He says, yeah, I've come from Shiraz, Persia. I'm on a vacation. And is there anything worthwhile seeing? So sure, there is that pearl mosque that is famous there, and there is that great park that is there, and mosques and parks. Persia excels in all this sort of thing. You say, well, you can go to old buildings, are there, monuments are there, if you want to go there. But we have got so many things over there. Is there something worthwhile seeing now that I am on a vacation that we don't have in Persia? Oh, yeah. So somebody who is not in the conversation from a different table says, well, you come from the land of beauty, eh, Persia. But we have a certain beauty here in Baghdad, which surpasses all beauty not only in Persia but in the world. I said, what do you mean by that? Because this is all Islamic country, you know. And beauty, is associated, related with female beauty, you know, beauty of a woman. So he says, you mean to say some sight or something like that? He says, no, a person. He says, don't you talk about a person. We have such beauties over there. Persian beauties are famous all over the world. How can you have somebody who is more beautiful than any beautiful lady in Persia? And he just, in disgust, he got up from there after having finished his breakfast. He goes away. He wanders here and there and goes to some mosques and some tombs and some old buildings and goes to parks and all that. There he's sitting there. And some people come and say, hey, you look like a stranger over here. Are you from a different country? He says, yeah, I'm from Shiraz. I've come here on a vacation. By the way, tell me, is there anything worthwhile over here? I want to spend some time here looking at things, you know. Then they again name the same. The mosque is there, which is very famous, and the tomb and shrine of a certain great master is there, and the parks are there. Forget about that. We have got a lot of things there, but something worthwhile seeing. So one disdainfully says, well, you may have seen, and you may have everything in your own country, but you cannot have the beauty that we have. And again the same words come to him. So what are you talking about beauty? What beauty you are talking about? A beautiful woman whose beauty surpasses all beauty in the world. But how come it's an Islamic country? How do you see? How do you happen to see it? How do you say that she's beautiful? You know, because Muslims are always in veil. Well, anybody can go and see her if anybody is prepared to pay the price for it. I said, what do you mean by paying the price and seeing a beauty like that? He said, of course, she is in a brothel there. If you want to go and see, pay the price and go and see and have your time with her. And he says, oh God, a beauty in a brothel? He's a straight person. He has never visited any brothels. He had never the notion, you see, to go to a prostitute or anything of that sort. And what's the matter? Why are these people saying? Who could that be? And then his mind says that although they speak of the beauty of this woman, but it seems that the people here, the public here, they have a peculiar trend. They seem to be quite different from other persons, you see. I don't know. Again he goes to somewhere, again the same topic, same beauty comes into the picture. He makes up his mind. Although he has never paid a visit to a brothel. And then he goes, but he is shy. So he wants to bid his time and all that when everything becomes very quiet and all that. And late night, you know. Quietly, he finds the address and goes there. There are many brothels, but a particular brothel she is there in. So he goes. As he climbs up the steps there, he goes. A matron comes out. Yeah. Who are you? What do you want? He says, I am in search of that beauty The whole town is speaking of. Have you got somebody here? She laughs. You seem to be a total stranger here to our country here. She says, yeah, I'm a stranger. I'm on a vacation. And I want to have a view of that beauty. You want to have a view of the beauty? She's not here like any zoo, animal in a zoo or anything of that sort. You'll have to pay the price for it to be with her for the night. So I'm prepared to pay any price you want. And she gave an abnormal figure, you know. I says, yeah, I'm prepared to pay. So, thank you. Come on, I'll take you. That's how she pushes the door open. The door opens. It is not locked, but goes shut like that. And I says, get inside and have a good time. Wish you good luck. She shuts the door and goes away. To his surprise, he seems that he has been fooled here. There's nobody inside. And wanders here and there, some big apartment. Nobody inside. First of all, he's irate. He says, what, these people are fooling me or here what? And then he goes on from one place. There, sure enough, there's a tiny little room. A sort of, you know, call it a little niche there or something in that, in a corner, in the dark room. It's not even lighted, the place. Dim candles are there, one or two. So he goes there, and here there is somebody there. Could hear the breath, you see, breathing out there. And there, his eyes are now fixed on in the darkness. He could figure out a very beautiful figure. But she is absorbed in prayers. Totally absorbed in prayers. And he goes on admiring now. Now he can see the beauty. He says, really, she's really very beautiful. Indeed she is. But she is in prayers. Half an hour passes by. Three quarters of an hour pass by. He is not afraid about the time passing because he is admiring the beauty. He is absorbing the beauty. After an hour, she gets out of her prayers and looks up. Oh, you are here? I'm so sorry. I must have kept you waiting for a long time. She says, it doesn't matter. Come to the dining table. You must be hungry, you know. I am hungry myself, she says. And she leads the table in the hall and claps her hands. Maidens come from somewhere. She says, come on, serve us some drinks and some food or something like that. So there, food is brought, drinks are brought, and he continues to just gaze at her. He says, who are you? And she laughs. Why, what makes you ask me that? I'm a woman. Who are you? I'm a stranger to this country. I'm a prosperous businessman. I've come on a vacation. I ask the people for anything worth seeing. And it seems that you are the talk of the town. That the only thing that is worth seeing is the beauty here. And I come here. And you are indeed very beautiful. And she laughs at him and says, you have no idea what beauty should be and is. This is, after some years, if you come here, you'll see me without denture, without any teeth and all wrinkles and all. You call this a beauty that fades out, that vanishes? You should have some notion of the eternal beauty. And she goes on telling him about the eternal beauty, about the truth, about reality, and all this goes on. He is happy. He has nothing. He has lost his appetite. He has lost everything. And he's just gazing at her beauty and hearing all the words of truth. And he says, isn't it good to fall in love with such beauty? He says, yeah, but do you know what love means? You have no notion of what love is. Love would want to give in everything. Would want to love more and more. Doesn't expect anything in return. And she goes on and on telling about what Baba has told us about love, what Baba has told us about beauty. She used to repeat that, or that's how it is. That's the eternal message. Time is passing by and she is taking from one case of another woman who was beautiful, and she fell in love with this great eternal beauty, and how she spent the life, how the man who was in love with another woman taught her to love the beauty eternal, and this and that. Time passes by. It's now dawn. And he says, oh, he is afraid of somebody seeing and coming to know that this influential person has visited a brothel before anybody, before the crowd comes or before the market starts. You see, he wants to escape from there. And he says, I have passed the whole night observing you and absorbing your beauty. Who are you? He says, my name is Rabia. But what are you? He says, I am an ordinary servant of my Lord. I serve him. What a night it was for me. Can you ask me for anything? I'm a very rich man. Ask me for anything. I'll give you anything you want. He says, I don't want anything. All I want is one thing. That can you give me that one thing? He says, yes. What is that? Oh, yes, I can give my life if you want. What is it? Tell me. I want to do one thing. When you go out from here, don't tell anybody what transpired tonight. Let people come being attracted by my beauty so that they can hear of the beauty eternal. So Baba then turned to us and says, same thing with your strength, same thing with your moral integrity, same thing with your beauty, same thing with all your art and all the skill that you have. If you can harness it in the proper direction, it can be of so great a help. But purity in life is the most important thing. Only through spotless purity can you attain me. If you have your beauty, use your beauty to lead others to the eternal beauty that I am. If you have strength, show your strength and protect the others and lead them to me. Haul them all to me with your strength. If you have other skills, use the skill to get them to me. That's the story that he had told us. So I told that girl, I said, look, well, don't worry if they fall in love with you. See how the man fell in love with you. How did he leave the place? With deeper thoughts and deeper feelings for the Lord. So why worry about people falling in love with you? Don't care about it. Guide them properly. That's the story.